Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wheel of Misfortune.
Yes, there it is. House Brothers sounding quick. And I think, you know, kind of prancing around in vertical, quite frankly. House Brother, we'll catch up with him later. We'll get here. We'll get a Masters pick at House Brother at some point. We'll go around the table. Vestchuk, we'll get your 2 cents. Mullen, Grappler, everyone. And Owen and I will have our draft in about a half an hour. Graham Dillette's still to come. But every Wednesday at 5:30, we spin the wheel. We see what we're playing today. You guys ready to rock?
Ready to
Can't
rock.
Can't wait.
In your life, have you ever seen anything like Jerry? Jerry might sit in Vern's booth with him during the Masters. You know what gets up in there.
I wish I did. I wish I did.
Cocktails with Vern in the booth.
I love it. In your life, have you ever seen anything like Jerry? I wasn't expecting that, but I like it. I'm in the mood for Jerry's percentages. We're on the eve of the Masters. There's a lot going on in the sports world. Let's stop wasting time. Let's get to Jerry's first take.
Jerry's got his green jacket on for the Masters, and Jerry's green jacket strut makes Dustin Johnson look like a Muppet. But DJ won't care because he's going back to back at Augusta.
Quickly on that, did you see DJ strutting around in his green jacket last night? It was sharp.
Dude, no one in the golf world, I don't care how good these guys are, Bryson, Rory, nobody walks a golf course like that guy. It's nobody. Just a machine.
No.
6'3", ripped, hits at 380. It's just,
yeah.
Anyway, back to back, I'm going 85%. I'm that high on this guy going there and destroying that golf course again.
85%. I think he's had a percent.
Yes, I am 85%, and you know where I'm going, obviously, if I get the first overall pick. I just think he wants trophy hunting right now. Much like Rory talked about going to Tiger's house, he got that green jacket last year. He's got the U.S. Open. I think he wants to dip in a little bit more often. I think he's hungry and fired up.
Wow, 85%. That's a big number. What do you got, Dave?
I'll give it. I'm not going to give it that high. Look, I think
you don't judge me, Vestchuk, for my picks. Okay, you can pick whatever percentage you want. Mine was 85.
Yeah, okay. No, I understand you're high on him. I get it. I'm scared of him too. I mean, he is a menacing figure when he is prowling the course with that huge frame. You talk about a guy with bounce. This guy makes Al's brother, look like a guy that cannot jump out of the gym because this guy can dunk a basketball. How many PGA Tour players can do that? I'm thinking a very short list. Maybe him and Tony Finau. But I'm going to give it, 20%. I think he's way above almost everybody in this field. He's got to be the second or third favorite. So I'll give him 20% chance to win it.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go a little bit lower than that, just based on history. There have been three times in history we've seen back-to-back winners at Augusta National. This would be the first time in 5 months. Like, he was on fire in November. He is not playing so well recently. Based on his standards, He is not really lighting it up. A little squirrely off the tee. His putting has gone a little bit off. That's what, like, when he was dialed last summer, he was putting like we'd never seen before. Like, it was an absolute machine. And then tee to green, you know what you're getting. I think history's against him. History's against him. I think the field is against him based on what we're going to see at the Masters. I'm not going to go 0%, but I'll say 10%. I'll give him a 1 in 10. I think he's right there with 9 other guys. He is the best player in the world. It would not be shocking, but it's history's against him. And he's not playing as well as he was when he showed up at Augusta in November.
One of Corey Connors or Mackenzie Hughes will be in the mix come Sunday at the Masters. And Canada will lose their s***. And so will Jerry.
Oh.
Okay. I like it. What do you think?
I love both of these guys. Obviously, they're waving the flag down there for everybody. But it seems... I mean, I hope they do it. I'm going to give them 50% chance. I hope they can do it. But it seems like there's that second tier you mentioned earlier in the show, Brian, and they kind of wedge themselves in there. And come the weekend, I don't know if we've ever seen them up there on the weekend. I know we saw Corey Connors. Where was it? a couple weeks
ago. Top 10.
Yeah, he was top, Bay Hill, you know, and he kind of fizzled away. I just think this tournament come Sunday, the top 10 you always see on the leaderboard, it's the best of the best, and I don't know if either one of those two can make that jump to get in that circle of trust come Sunday. But I want to see it like happen. That's why I'm going 50, man.
Yeah, I'd give, like, for one of the two to be in contention, I'd give it a 40% chance because they both have a huge strength, right? Connors is one of the best ball strikers on the tour, and they talk about how, you know, your approach shots into these greens are so important. This guy is dialed in on his irons better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And Hughes, you know, he doesn't hit it as well, but he's one of the, you know, he's in the top 20 in putting right now. And obviously, Augusta is a putter's track. So I like their chances because they have an identifiable strength. So I'd give it 40%.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit higher because you got two horses in this race. So I'll go 55% just because it's two horses. And everything you just said, Festuck, Tee to green, Corey Connors, like you talk about strokes gained. He's like top five on tour over the last 6 months.
Didn't he play well in November too, Hayes?
Yes, he did.
He's tied for 10th, yeah. Tied for 10th.
I think he was kind of in the mix at the Players too. Like not really up at the top, but he's been playing really well. And Mackenzie Hughes can putt. He can really putt well. Like he's got to control the ball clearly, tee to green. That goes without saying. But at this course, if you can start rolling putts, you stay in the mix. I'm not going to put money on either guy to win it, but that's not what Jerry was suggesting. In the mix, Sunday, you give me two horses, 55%.
The Weirzy Mobile will be purring like a cat on Thursday and Friday, because Mike Weir's going to make the cut this week.
Mm, he made it in November. Weirzy.
I don't know, man, the Weirzy Mobile. All I can think about is the pick of your Weirzy Mobile, the car on two wheels, and you were like, this is the Weirzy Mobile right now.
Yep.
Screw it. I say the Weirzy Mobile's purring, and purring hard and making the cut. Who knows? He's playing pretty good golf, man. Who knows?
Yeah.
He seems to figure out. Biggest thing, like he had a choke job in Arizona that I kind of enjoyed watching because I had the other guy, but... He can hit it better now, man. I think he can make the cut.
Oh,
I'll go 65%.
Yeah, he's healthy, and he knows the course incredibly well. He's played there, what is this, 20 years or whatever he's been there? He figured out
how to hit his tee ball, too, for years there. He was hitting drives, snap hooks, all kinds of nonsense. He can put it in play now, so I'm going to give him 65.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I'd go a little higher. I'm gonna say I got a good feeling about Weir this week because he is actually getting the ball in play off the tee so much better lately. He's been working on it a lot. He looks a little, he's not Bryson-esque, but he's got some heft to him that we're not used to from Mike Weir. This guy's work ethic is off the charts, and he's still got that wedge, right? He won in 03 because he had the best wedge in the game, and that wedge hasn't gone anywhere, man. The guy knows how to get it up and down when he's not hitting it well. And for that reason, I think he can stay in the mix.
Yeah, I'm going to be relatively low on this. I think, you know, he did his thing in November, and that was awesome. Like, the Wheels Human Bureau was up on two wheels, you know, coming down the stretch, but it landed, and it parked, and he punched the ticket into the weekend. But it's a tough field. The course is going to be playing a lot tougher. A lot tougher. Now, still, like, making the cut is making the cut. It doesn't matter if the leader's at 2 over or 15 under. It's still the same algorithm in terms of what you have to do to get in. I think he did what he did in November. That was a big accomplishment for him. It had been a long time since he was even close to making the cut at Augusta. And I'll say 25%. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but doing that back-to-back I think is going to be tough for Mike Weir.
Now, as for Phil Mickelson, his engine will be on fumes by Friday night, like Al's brother's car. And the trunk will be slammed with authority. No cut for Philip.
Okay. Phil. Mm-mm. I'm going to say he's making the cut 100%. He's 100% making the cut. So what does that make my percentage?
That'd be 0% for this.
0% because that guy... He could slash it around forever, but when he shows up at that golf tournament, he has such a belief that he can win the tournament even at the age of 50. I just think somehow magic. It's like Freddie Couples, man. Freddie Couples can be limping around the senior tour, sticking his putter into his back, stretching his back. He shows up at Augusta, he'll be 68, 69. He'll play the weekend. He plays like garbage, but Phil will make the cut 100%, so zero for this particular percentage.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little higher because I think, you know, there's a chance that he will not make the cut because you look at his recent form, as much as I agree with you, like this guy, he knows how to get around here. Local knowledge, understanding this course is huge in succeeding at Augusta. It's why first-time guys don't win very often, if at all. But, you know, you look at his form, like what is he right now? He's 106th in the world.
He's
212th in driving accuracy. His stats are just terrible. He hasn't had a good performance this year if he hasn't been on the Champions Tour, which is why, you know, from earlier in the show, I think he's destined to the broadcast booth very shortly here. But I'd never bet against him completely to not make it because just, you know, some of these guys that are all-time greats can summon the magic for one weekend.
Okay. Did you give a percentage? What do you got there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm gonna go 25.
25%. Okay. I am. He made the cut, I believe, in November. Remember him and Tiger played well early in the tournament. And you're like, here we go, and then it was a fade. But that's all that needs to happen here. I just think his game is in a really bad spot. Like,
he's doing some goofy stuff out there, man.
Really goofy stuff, and his putting is way off. Like, he doesn't trust his putting, and that is going to burn him. So I'm going to say 55% he misses the cut. I think there's a real opportunity here for that to happen. I think one round gets away from him, especially if it's tomorrow. I don't know if he gets it back on the rails. So I'll go 55%.
Tanner Roark needs an extinguisher for his shirt every time he takes the mound, but will miraculously make three more starts as a Blue Jay. Hazy B calls him a gas can.
I do call him that, Jerry. And he does need a fire extinguisher whenever those puppies are getting lit up like they did last night. Three bombs in three innings. But Jerry's
saying three more starts. 0%. Sorry. I think he wheels out there one more time, and his arm falls off on the mound, and they just have a Uber waiting. You can't do it, man. Competitive team that's looking to do something this year, you can't. Like I said, he's the momentum vampire. They were cooking, feeling good about themselves, get that first one in Texas. All of a sudden, this guy wheels out there in the first mound, the first inning, and it's just like it's 3-0 before you know it.
Yeah,
and Hayes, I'm not trying to sound like a goof. I'm being dead serious. I study, like, the body language, what guys' faces look like. You can tell the guys in the dugout were like, how do we compete with this on the mound? I could tell, man.
It's obvious.
They're honestly looking like, oh, so we have to hit 10 homers tonight. I could just tell by the expressions on their face. Part of my job.
I think you're dead on there. Oh, I mean, how can anybody be happy to be playing behind that guy? But I do think, look, the defense had a lot to do with the, you know, the thing going up in flames.
Dave, who the hell's supposed to catch those homers going out of the ballpark? What does that have to do with the defense?
But if Biggio would have made that play, if Bichette would have made that play, there's a chance those innings are over instead of him being out there longer. So, look, I'm not saying he's going to have a great season here, but they gave him 11 starts last year, and his ERA was 6.80. So the idea that they're not going to give him at least a few more, I think, is probably far-fetched given the state of their depth chart right now and the state of their starting pitching injuries. So I'm going to have to say, yeah, I think it's 100% he's going to get at least three, I would think.
Man, I hope not. I really hope not. Like, that's just being blunt and honest. Like, Tanner Roark is not a guy who should be in a rotation of a team that thinks they can hit 90 wins. Like, you can't have it when I understand the options are not there right now because Ray is on the IL, Hatch, Pearson. Like, those are three guys that were, in my opinion, 100% ahead of him on the depth chart. There is some pride involved here with the GM and the president, but they just got their five-year extensions. They maybe aren't so worried about going up to Rogers and saying, hey, we got to burn $12 million here. We made a mistake. They got their deals anyway. And you look at what they did coming out of camp. Like, Reese McGuire, that was a guy they had to designate for assignment. Like, and he got through, he skated, they've still got him. They went with Kirk because they said, we want to be the best team possible. Not thinking about options, not thinking about security of players and who you're going to be able to keep. If you are trying to win and you're putting forth the best possible rotation, you cannot have Roark available if and when Robbie Ray returns. I would throw Zoik out there before I throw Roark out again. I would. And maybe give him one more round. Maybe two, three. I can't get there, man. I'm not going to say that's an impossibility because it is about economics. It's about ego. It's about pride. It's about options. It's about injuries. But I'll say 30%. 30%
You can throw him out there. Look, you can throw him out there one more. Let's say you give him one more courtesy start.
But yeah, as a veteran.
You're doing that knowing damn well that that 91-mile-an-hour pizza's coming right down the middle and someone's smashing it into someone's car.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, he
already
it.
Know it. It's sad knowing it. What the guys, you just look at his delivery. It's like he was throwing a couple of these measly little curveballs that were called strikes. I'm like, just keep throwing that thing, man, because that other nonsense you're throwing is getting jacked out of the park.
Yeah, it was. It's not a good scene for Tanner Roark, and it wasn't expected to be based on what he did a year ago.